Amen. All right, let's go to Mark 5 real quick. Praise the Lord. Your pastor already started preaching my sermon. Like he's preaching the passage I'm going to read. I love that. But Mark 5, and let's begin in verse 25, and I think that you put it up on the screen. You can take a rest if you want to, but I'm going to call you up. Just be ready. Just be ready. You just play all night till tomorrow. We'll come pick you up tomorrow. Just keep going. See how long she can go. She probably would do it too, wouldn't she? You could tell. You could tell. Okay, Mark the 5th chapter. Let's take a look at it. It says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years." Okay, so let's stop right there for a second. Here's a certain woman that's got an issue. Oh, hello. Come on. I was reading that one day. It's like a certain woman had an issue. I'm like, uh-oh, there's a lot of women with a lot of issues. We could get in trouble right there. Come on. Tonight, I just want to ask you a simple question. What is your issue? What's your issue? Have you ever heard people say, we all got issues, right? Sometimes people say, you got issues, I got issues, everybody got issues. Issues, 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 right? But you have an issue, I'm sure, in your life. This woman had an issue. I want you to think about, what is that one issue in your life that you would love to see changed, healed, moved out the way, whatever? How many of you know God is bigger than your issue? And he's bigger than your issues, right? So this woman had an issue. A lot of women do, amen, more than one issue. But her issue, the biggest one facing her was this sickness, this disease, okay? So it says a certain woman had an issue of blood, 12 years. So that's over a decade. Sometimes when you're battling, you know, a sickness or something in your body, and time passes, and years pass, you know, it can be tempting to get discouraged because you think this has gone on so long. Anybody know what I mean? And you almost can be tempted to just learn how to live with the issue, you know. And we all have to have joy. I mean, in the middle, while you're believing, let me encourage you, just because you didn't see anything immediately or some time has passed, don't let the devil make you feel bad about that at all, okay? Don't let people put that on you, you know. Thank God that you're standing and you're believing. Doesn't matter how long it takes. You stand till you see it. And stay full of joy in the meantime, amen? But just because some time has passed doesn't mean God isn't working for you. But this woman had this issue for over a decade. I mean, it interfered with everything that she did, everywhere that she went. So it said she had this issue all these years, 12 years. Should I say bing when we want to go to the next verse? Bing. Thank you. All right, 12 years. She suffered many things of many physicians. A lot of people been there, right? Getting needles stuck in them, poking and prodding. And I mean, just a lot of stuff. And she spent all that she had. Now that was everything. She sold her Apple stock. Yeah, Facebook. And, you know, she emptied it all out, her 401k, her home, everything, right? Because what's it say? She spent all that she had, everything. And nothing was bettered. In other words, she wasn't getting better, but rather, she grew worse. So that means the sickness it just increased. Here, she's doing everything she can. How many of you know one thing that sickness tries to do to you? It tries to steal your confidence, doesn't it? Not only that, but it tries to take your money, right? John 10:10, we all know what it says. The thief comes not but for to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I am come that you might have what? Life, and have it more abundantly. You know, it's amazing sometimes how people can get the devil ever mixed up with God when it comes to disease. Listen, it is never ever the will of God that anybody is sick. It's never God's plan if you have a sickness. Now, he can take what the devil meant for bad, right? And turn it around for good. I mean, I believe when you come out, you're going to be such a blessing. He can turn it around. He can turn it in the end, and your testimony is going to bless many people, right? But we got to always remember where sickness comes from. That's so important in receiving. And it's basics, right? How many of you have children? Okay. You would never put sickness on any of your kids, would you? In America, they call that child abuse, right? If you did something like that. But then when it comes to God, for some reason, the devil causes people to get confused and they kind of question a little bit. Don't ever question that. All you got to do is go through the Word. How many of you thank God for the Bible? That's why we got it, to keep our thinking straight, right? If we ever go, well, I think and I feel, aren't you glad that's not what we go by? That's why God gave us the instructions, right? Just think about that woman that was bent over. Remember that lady for 18 years. So here, this woman has an issue for 12 years. Then there's that another lady, 18 years. It says she was bent over for 18 years. She could in no wise lift up herself, King James Version. But she couldn't lift herself up. Imagine, she knew everybody by their feet, their shoes, the cute green ones. Sweet. I'm matching shoes. Oh, how cute. Sweet. And so she wouldn't know people by that. She'd know them by their shoes. She couldn't lift herself up. I mean, how tormenting is that? Right? And it says that Satan had her bound, low these 18 years, with that infirmity. 18 years. Jesus said, Satan has bound this woman. So he made it real clear where sickness came from. He said, Satan has bound this woman all these 18 years. Wow. Then in Acts, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing. Healing is good, yes. Doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So there again, we see where sickness comes from, right? People were oppressed of the devil. Have you ever heard people say, well, maybe God's trying to teach me something? Right? I have an aunt, still have her. She graduated to heaven, so I was going to say had, but I know where she is. She's still alive, very much alive, but she's in heaven. And she grew up in a certain background where she loved the Lord, but she thought somehow God was using sickness, could be using it to teach her a lesson, you know. And so she had a block there when it came to receive it. How many of you know we got to be honest where some of our blocks are? And so we can talk to God. Lord, give me revelation. Show me in the Word. You know, what is it that tries to trip you up in your mind when it comes to receiving, right? And so hers was, well, maybe God's trying to teach me something. So I said, I showed her all these scriptures, you know, and she said, I see that. I see those scriptures on healing, but I don't know why, but I have this block. I said, okay. How many of you know the Holy Ghost will help you go one way? With someone, if that's not getting through, he'll give you another avenue you can go, right? He'll get through to them. And so I said this to her. I said, okay, now you believe for some reason that sickness is a blessing in disguise, because she had heard that phrase. I don't know how blessing in disguise that is, but anyways, maybe this is a blessing in disguise. So she was getting ready to go to the doctor and what have you. I said, okay, if it's a blessing in disguise, let's say you got a fever of 101. And that's a blessing in disguise, of course. I said, now, if that's a blessing in disguise and you got a fever of 101, why don't you pray that you get really, really blessed then and let it go up to 108 so you could be super blessed. You'd be dead. Come on. That's not a blessing. And she said, I see where you're going with this. I can see this. And then I said, now, if you believe that somehow sickness is God's will for you, then why are you going to the doctor next week trying to undo the will of God for your life by getting better? Oh, come on. And when I told her that, she said it was like a light bulb. No, whoa, wait a minute. Because people just have these sayings that if you really think about them, you know, if in other words, if you really believed sickness is the will of God, well, you'd be like praying, Lord, make me more sick and I'll never go to the doctor and make me weak. And no, you don't pray that way, right? Because we just automatically know the way God made human beings, right? That's not good stuff. God is good, right? Sickness isn't good. No way. And so, you know, you gotta always say, it's always God's will for me to be healed. Never will the Lord say it's not his will. Now, you may say, okay, what about the people who don't seem to receive their healing? You ever wondered that? Well, think about this, okay? There's lots of reasons, you know, we just won't go into all of them, but there's many different aspects and reasons. But here's something basic. How many of you believe it's the will of God that everybody goes to heaven? Right? We have scripture on it, right? It says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Scripture says that. God wants everybody to come to repentance. God wants everybody to receive Jesus. God wants everybody to go to heaven, right? But let me ask you this. Does everybody go to heaven? I mean, does everybody choose that? Not everybody chooses that. But could they? Absolutely. It's so simple. Let's say I said to you tonight, I want to give everybody in here a copy of my book. My favorite book, okay? Anybody who wants one, just go to the book table. I want to give you a copy. And you came back next Sunday, and what if you said, hey, I didn't get my copy. I didn't get it. You might say, well, did you go to the book table? Did you get it? It was available. No, but I didn't get my copy. See, things are available to us, but how many of you know we just have to, by faith, just go after it. Just go get it. Just be a receiver. I don't know about you. I'm saying, Lord, make me a better receiver. Come on, I want to be a good receiver. You remember that verse, Mark 11? How many of you ever read Mark 11, 24? You ever read that? Can you flip over to that? We'll go back in a minute to the other one. But simple, this is Jesus. He said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you what?
Desire.
Anybody desire to be healed tonight? Desire strength? It's okay to have good desires. Amen. It's a good thing. Who desires to be strong in your body? Come on. Mm-hmm. All right. How many of you desire to have more money so you can be a blessing? Yeah, come on. We never say, Lord, I have too much strength. Oh, I'm too healed. That's okay. Lord, take some healing back. Take some strength back. Come on. Right? We never say that. I'm taking it all. Aren't you? Yeah, well, you might as well do that with your finances, too. Don't stop and go, this is good enough. No, get all the blessing you can so you can be a blessing to somebody else. Amen. More strength you have in your body, the more you can help other people, right? Isn't that right? So he said, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you what?
Receive.
Somebody shout, receive.
Receive.
Okay, if you look this word up, receive, in the Greek, you know what it means? To take. To take. Somebody say, take.
Take
it. Say, I'll take that. Okay, there's a good friend of mine, and I share the story many times. But sometimes I preach for me, too. I get blessed by my own stories. Does your pastor ever just start laughing? He's like, he's blessing himself. I mean, sometimes I'll get done and go, oh, man, that really helped me. Thank you. Okay, anyways, thank you, God. But there's this lady, actually, she was dedicated to the Lord by Amy Simple McPherson. I remember Amy. She was a powerful woman, one of the first pioneers. She started the first Christian radio station from Los Angeles. Just a powerful ministry all around the world. So this lady was dedicated to the Lord by Amy Simple McPherson when she was young. And so I got to preach with this woman. She's now probably, oh, I would say she's close to 80 now, this lady. But I was in Bible school in Oklahoma. And so we were doing tag team preaching. Now, I didn't grow up in church, so, you know, I guess I'm thinking, okay, you preach, and then you go, tag, you're it. I mean, I didn't know anything, you know. And so I got up to preach, and I was going to preach a little bit, and then when I was done, it was her turn, you know. She's a very spiritual lady, and I really respected her. So this was in the 80s, okay? And so this lady's sitting on the front row of this little church, and I'm talking, and she's sitting on the front row, and she had big red hair, and she had a PhD, Pentecostal hairdo, okay, real big, you know, and you remember in the 80s, Pastor Kimberly, when people would wrap their hair out, you remember that? Oh, yeah. I remember one time, this is a side journey here, I was mad about something, and I had my mom on speakerphone, my house, I was doing my hair, I had her on speakerphone, and I was doing the rat in your hair, it was in style, come on, big hair. And the more upset I got, the bigger my hair got. I was just like, you know what I'm saying? I was going after it. And I don't even know what I was upset about. And all of a sudden, I looked in the mirror, and my hair was like, woo! And I felt like the Lord was saying, you look ridiculous. Come on. You got to let that thing go, right? Don't let the devil, you know, make you so upset. Anyhow, she had that kind of hair, okay? Blocked everybody's view and all that. But she's sitting on the front row. And she was loud. She wasn't some quiet preacher. She's loud. And so I was preaching, and anytime I said something that this lady liked, you know, like I said, God's a good God, or my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, you know. She'd jump up right in the middle of my sermon and shout real loud, and she'd go, "Ow, take that." And then she'd sit down. And then I'd say something like, you know, God will supply all your needs, or by his stripes your healed, whatever. And then if she liked that, she'd jump up in the middle of that one too and shout real loud again, "Ow, take that too." She was taking everything. I mean, the first time she did it, I got to admit, it startled me. I was like, "Whoa, what was that?" But she's like, "I'll take that." So the whole time, she is taking everything. This woman was a spiritual hog. Come on. That's one place we can chow down. We can take everything that belongs to us. How many of you are taking healing? Come on. How many of you are taking some blessing? You're taking peace? Come on. Somebody pull down some peace right now. I'm taking it. Yeah, we got to take it. The Bible says the violent take it by force. Sometimes you got to play offense. Sometimes I think Christians, we're so much just on the defense. If an attack comes, we pray, we do the, you know, we read the Bible, we take authority. But I think we got to get more on the offense. Come on and go after those things. I was at a gas station in Detroit, and this guy's getting out of his car, and that scripture in Psalm came up on the inside of me. Ask for the heathen. For your inheritance in the uttermost parts of the earth, for your possession. I felt like the Lord saying, ask for that man's salvation. So, I mean, I got on the offense. Lord, I'm asking you. I started praying for the guy, got out, struck up a conversation, led him to the Lord right at the gas station. I think we just don't think of things sometimes. We've got to get on the offense more. Amen. So this lady's taking everything. Well, it came time for her to preach. So I got done. I was like, all right. She gets up. She said, "You've probably been wondering why I've been jumping up and shouting, 'I'll take that,' in the middle of the sermon." I thought, yes, I've been wondering that myself. And this is what she said. "When something is being preached or something's being taught and it applies to your life, just sitting in your seat by faith, just reach up, you know, in the spirit realm and go, 'Lord, I take that. Oh, Lord, I receive that.'" I personally have received many blessings. You know, you hear someone and it really ministers to you. I'd be sitting there, "Oh, yes, Lord, I receive that. I take it." And I knew it was done in the service where I was sitting before I saw anything. I just knew it was done because I received it. And I can tell you where I was, where I was sitting, everything. You know how that goes? I just reached up by faith and I received so many things. You can do it too. But so she said, if it applies to your life, reach out by faith and say, "Lord, I take that. Take it." Jesus said, "Take it. Take it." So she gets done preaching. Now she's, you know, just different, loud, and all these things. How many of you know we got to look past the packaging sometimes? Because we miss a lot of stuff by judging the way someone delivers their sermon, their approach, their hairstyle. No, I'm just kidding. Cool hairstyle. Or maybe not so cool. But a lot of times, you know, we don't. I think we miss some blessings because we're looking at that outward appearance. You know, God looks at the heart. So sometimes we've got to look through all that. There's gold in there. Amen. Come on. There's gold on the inside of people. It's in there. So anyhow, she gets done and she starts to pray. Now, she did not know this, but there was a woman in the service who had been diagnosed with some sort of lung disease. She needed a miracle. But this lady didn't know it. But so she starts to pray. And then she starts to prophesy. But she says this. She says, "I'm just going to tell you what I see." She goes, "Right now, I see a lung floating by." Come on, we already thought she was different. A little different. Okay. But now, floating lungs. Come on, you know, your head will be a little... That's just the way I guess the Lord had her deliver that. But so she sees a floating lung. So some people were thinking, okay, whatever. But the woman that needed the new lung, come on, the woman that needed the miracle, she didn't think it was crazy. She looked past all that stuff. And you know what that woman did in the middle of service? She jumped up, and you know what she did? She shouted, "I'll take that." She took it by faith, her miracle, by faith. And do you know that lady got a complete miracle and the doctors, they said somehow or whatever, she had a brand new lung. And matter of fact, she's married to a pastor in Indiana. I've been there to preach. And they're still going strong, still preaching the gospel. Her lungs are still healed and whole. Amen. And it all started because she decided to say, I'll take that. I was at a service in Nebraska, and this pastor, lady pastor, was telling me she was dying of lung cancer. And her son-in-law, bless his heart, he would bring her to church, lay her on the very last row just so she could get under that anointing and hear the word. And she said she barely had enough strength to just look up. And she kind of lifted herself as much as she could just to look, see what was happening. And she said when she did, an angel flew up the center aisle. And this angel flew all the way back where she was. And she said, Kate, it was like this angel just took its hand and stuck it right in my chest, right where that cancer was. And she could feel the heat, the power of God. And she was completely whole. The doctors had sent her home to die. And when she came walking back into the doctor's office, she said the look on that guy's face, he couldn't believe it was her. Oh, come on, we serve a healing Jesus. A healing Jesus. I believe there's angels that assist in healing. Well, we know that demons assist in making people do crazy stuff. You know it's demonic, the stuff you see on TV or hear about. Well, if demons can influence people into doing evil, why can't angels, come on, influence healing and miracles, right? I believe as you pray in your company, your business or whatever, I believe an angel can just cause someone to come your way. You know, they're looking for something, maybe get their car fixed. Where's our brother that gave me a ride? Where is it? There he is. Amen. I believe that, you know, someone, they need their car fixed, they got to go somewhere, right? So I believe the Lord's going to have them go to the tithing guy. Yeah, come on, because the tithing man is a blessed person, right? And I believe, you know, that little angel can get in there and just kind of cause someone to think, oh, I need to go there. Or maybe they're passing a place that it's, you know, they don't serve the Lord. Maybe they don't tithe. They're not expecting. They're not givers. They might look, oh, I don't like the name of that place. Let's go down here. For whatever reason. I mean, God will bring them your way. God will cause the increase. I believe we have angels. I sent them out tonight to minister to you, to influence you into receiving everything that God has for you. Amen. Well, I was sharing just the story I just told you at a church about the lung thing. And there was a couple, their dad was on a lung transplant waiting list. And so while I was preaching that story, they jumped up in the service and said, I'll take that for the dad. Well, the Lord moved because somehow that evening, somewhere in the middle of the night, somehow he got bumped up the list. He had like over 100 people ahead of him because he's older and, you know, whatever they do. Somehow he got bumped up. And a lung became available. And by the next evening service, he had already been through the surgery and was doing awesome. He got his miracle. Come on, they were shouting and rejoicing. You might say, well, you mean God's going to pull one guy out and put you in there? Yep. Yeah, if you love the Lord. We're not trying to be mean or anything to the guy who's, you know, amen. I just believe they can get blessed too, right? People say to me, one pastor one time said to me, now, you believe the Lord actually gives you parking spots? And he goes, how does God know that one guy's going to be coming out and that you're going to be turning down that to get that front? Because I live in, you know, where it's cold in Michigan. So in the wintertime, you need that front row, right? And so he was all confused in his mind. He goes, I don't believe that. I said, that's okay. He goes, I don't believe it happens to me. I go, that's all right. You just keep parking in the back. Come on, I believe it happens for me, so I'm going to keep parking up front because I can have whatever I believe. Amen. All things are possible. Come on, we just got to get our faith on stuff, big stuff, little stuff. When it happens in the little areas, doesn't it excite you for believing when it comes to bigger things? Amen. A testimony I'll tell you real quick. What time is it? 7:30. What time we got to get out? Did I already pass it? 7:10. Okay. No, we got till what time? About 1:45-ish. Okay. All right. 2:45. Just kidding. Okay. Who will give me just 5 extra minutes tonight? Just 5. Yeah. 5:10. You know that one, right? I think I might have got that from you. I don't think so. But my cousin, and I was sharing this with the ladies, but this dear cousin of mine, like a sister to me, you know, all of a sudden got sick. She had an asthma attack or whatever, and she ended up in a coma. And so I was telling the ladies and, you know, sharing it with you, but I brought a picture we're going to show when the Lord had dropped it in my heart to take a picture. So here is, there she is. Now, I'll tell you what happened. I walked in there, and you know, God knows we're human and we love people, okay? So I'll tell you what I did. As soon as I walked in there, the first thing I did is I broke into tears because I love her. You know, she's my cousin. It doesn't mean I was doubting. I want to encourage you because how many of you know it's good to hear that sometimes? Because you might think, well, does your pastor go into situations like that? Nothing bothers him. We're human beings just like you are, okay? Just the same as you. So I went in there, I saw her, and so I just went out of the room for a minute, went to the restroom, and then I cried a little bit, and I'm like, all right, okay, that's out of me. Now we're going to war here. Amen. God's not upset because you have feelings. He gave you feelings, right? But anyhow, so I go in and I see this, and I mean, that's all the machines, and I mean, that's it. She was just like that for over 40 days. I think it was 42 exactly. I got to find out the exact amount. But can you imagine you come in and that's what you see for 42 days straight? Nothing. Now, you could be tempted to get discouraged. I mean, I loved her. And we went through Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. Still like that. So I laid hands on her. In the book of James talks about laying hands on the sick, right? And so in the natural, nothing was changing. But I would go, and I bought her a Christmas present, and I just put it back there somewhere. And I'd talk to her and go, well, your Christmas present's here. So you can wake up, you know, if you want to wake up now and open it up, that'd be great. But, you know, whenever. And the doctors would come in and be like, that girl, woo, we need to send her down the road to the psychiatrist. Okay, anyways, they thought I was a little crazy. They were all precious Muslim doctors. All Muslims. But they're doing a good job, you know, their training part. But anyhow, so here we were. Nothing's changing. I'd go in there every day, and they thought I was kind of crazy. But you know, by 1 month, they were all talking like me. I got them talking like me. The nurses, the doctors, where they said, she's not going to make it. She's going to die. There's no way she's going to recover. I'd come in there and go, maybe this would be the day she wakes up. Even they're thinking, now I'm saying what she's saying. It started rubbing off on them. Isn't that awesome? They go, well, it can't hurt. And I'd say, well, it can't hurt, can it, to be positive. They go, nope, can't get any worse. Amen. And so God moved, you know, in a powerful way. And I went up there to see her. She was just like that. I went up like I did every day. And, of course, she woke up. They said, you know, I said, where'd you send her? And they said to me, how do you know? We haven't told anybody she woke up. And I said, I got inside information. That's all I said. Because, you know, someone was in trouble because they were supposed to call the family first. They wanted to call the sisters first. And so whoever they thought was in big trouble because they weren't supposed to tell. And so they go, how do you know? I go, inside information. You got it too, right? Information inside the Word of God, what the Word of God says, right? I'm like, I know people. Anyways, so I went to her room and everything. And so just about, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 days later, after 40 whatever days, not moving, not blinking, she didn't move anything, didn't blink, didn't move a pinky, nothing. Okay? So after all that time, just a couple days later, this is her and my dad. Look at that. Thank you, Lord. Now, her eyes are bugging out and all that because her brain was waking up, they said. She kind of scared me at first, like, woo, bug eyes, you know, because, you know, anyhow. Okay, so, but that's just, look at that. I mean, to go from there's no hope, breathing machines, everything, a couple days later, come on, bam. It can change. It can change. Listen, you know your problem can change. Come on, how many of you have ever had something in your life go from bad to worse? Anybody? Have you ever been told it can't get any worse than this? And then it does? Have you ever had it go move like that? Okay, well, here's the good news. At least you know it can move. At least you know problems can change, right? So if it can go from bad to worse, come on, then you know the good news is this. It can change in the other direction. At least you know this thing can move. Amen. And we kept calling her healed and whole. And so we did Christmas this past year. She was doing great. She's in there eating. She's just like, wow. She said it was just like I closed my eyes, you know, and then I woke up. This to her, it's like she took a nap. And to us, we're visiting and doing all that stuff and praying and calling everybody and, you know. And just amazing. I mean, God is just so, so, so good. He's so awesome. Oh, come on. It was just like she just woke up. And then she said the most amazing miracle. She got the bill. And they gave her the estimated charges. Well, she told me the biggest miracle is her insurance came through like 2 weeks before all this happened. She had applied for new insurance and it just came through. And she looked at the bill and it was like $1.9 million. And she said that was the bigger miracle to her. Come on. I said, you are the $2 million woman. Come on. So it cost $2 million to be held up in that place. $2 million. And she was like, wow. She's like, God loves me that much? I go, oh, yeah, he paid a whole lot more for you than $2 million. You know what I'm saying? I think in her own self-esteem, I don't think she believed she was worth $2 million. Oh, you're worth a whole lot more than that. Jesus purchased you. Oh, amen. You remember in the Bible, Jesus healed a man, and this is what he said. It says that God made him every whit whole, King James, W-H-I-T, every whit whole. If you look up that word whit, you know what it means? Down to the tiniest iota. Oh, I love that. Down to the tiniest iota. God wants you every whit. In other words, he wants to heal you down to the tiniest iota. Every part of you. He wants you strong in every area of your life. Not just one thing's, you know, healed, but the other thing's not good. He wants all of you healed. He wants to make you every whit whole, every whit whole. Down to the tiniest iota of your life. Remember the psalmist even said, I sought the Lord and he heard me. Oh, thank you, Lord. And he delivered me from all my fears. All of them. Listen, God doesn't want you to have one fear. He wants you delivered from all of them. And he wants you healed in your body completely, emotionally, physically, every way, down to the tiniest iota. You know, the scripture talks about all the miracles, right? And there's actually 19 individual cases of healing recorded in the New Testament. 19 cases. But the Bible says that all the miracles Jesus performed couldn't contain them. It talks about how all of heaven couldn't hold the volumes of the books if they were to be written down. You think about the 3.5 years of ministry, Jesus flowing in the miracles. But he gave us the 19 right, individual cases, and then there's more when you look at the multitudes and things. But he chose about 19 or 20, depends how you look at it, okay? Peter cut the guy's ear off. When you're studying that, added 20, if you look at that, where Jesus actually addresses the miracle, talks about the miracle. But do you know that in every case, the emphasis is always placed on the person's faith, according to your faith. Great is your faith. Remember, he'd say, I've not seen such great a faith. No, not in Israel. So the emphasis is always on the person's faith. So Jesus Christ is the same, what? Yesterday, today, and what? Forever. So he's still placing the emphasis on our faith. Have you noticed, you never read where somebody cried out to God and he healed them because they were just crying so hard. And they were just hurting and you could tell and they got healed. They didn't get it for that. They never received because of the crying thing. Because, man, some of us would get awards, an Academy Award for times we've prayed like that, right? Oh, God, right? But you know that's not what moves the hand of God. That's not what causes miracles to take place. I mean, God's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. The Bible says so, right? But what really brings those miracles into our life is when we release our faith and we say, God, I'm having faith. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what I feel. I don't care what I see. I'm going to believe you and I'm choosing to believe you. How many of you know that's what produces the miracles in our life? When we really believe. Come on. And when we really believe, we're going to start acting like it. You know what the Lord showed me truly? We cannot be in faith about something and depressed about it at the same time. Come on. Impossible. Where's our sweet little piano player? Come on, we're going to get you. Where's she at? Would you mind coming? Thank you, dear, because we're going to pray. You cannot truly, you and I, we can't truly be believing for something. How many of you have something, you know, you're really praying about it? You're trusting God. A problem, physical, whatever. It could be something where you need favor, you need the mercy of God, whatever it is you need. But if you've truly prayed about it, and we do, truly pray about it, and you truly trust in God, and you're really believing that He's going to move in your behalf, right? How many of you have done that? And you're doing it right now. You're believing Him. Okay. So if we're truly asking Him, truly trusting Him now, we're not going to be depressed about that thing. Mm-mm. Because if we truly believe, what's the Bible say? The God of all hope will fill you with joy and peace in believing. See, when we're in believing, when we're truly trusting Him, the result is going to be joy and peace. I like what one preacher said. He said, when you're driving down the road of life in your faith mobile, two gauges you need to check. You need to check the joy gauge, and you need to check the peace gauge, right? Because when we're truly in faith, listen, the result's going to be peace. Come on. Sometimes you got to preach to yourself. When you're tempted to feel down about something you prayed about, you got to go, wait a minute now. Come on. Preachers got to preach to themselves, right? Come on. Sometimes I've had to look in that mirror and go, all right, girl, come on. You prayed. You know, my mother used to say to me, did you pray about it? I'd say, yes. She said, now act like it. There's just something about that that just, oh, got me. Now act like it. You believe it or don't you? I gotta believe it. Then you're not gonna stay down. The devil can't keep you down about anything. Because listen, I don't care what it is. God can work out any situation you're facing. Any problem. I watched the Lord heal a marriage in ministry that in my natural, you know, mind, I thought that would be impossible. To me, because, you know, I knew the details or whatever. I heard about it with this precious couple. And the Lord completely healed their marriage. And, I mean, they're so full of joy. So we're more in love than we've ever been. I mean, it's like heaven on earth. And in the natural, it looked impossible. Come on, but with God, all things are possible. It looked impossible for my cousin. But with God, all things are possible. You may have a dream in your heart to do something for God, and it looks impossible. The devil may have told you, it's too late. You know the big test to find out, right? If it's too late or not. Put your hand on your heart. Just put your hand on your heart. Are you breathing? If you can talk, you're breathing. Okay, right? Mm-hmm. That's the test. It's not too late. It's not too late. God will recalculate you. If your GPS will stick with you, and mine does, I can make the wrong turn, and that thing keeps with me. In 300 feet, make a legal and safe U-turn. And then if I do it wrong again, it sticks with me. Recalculating. You can do it 20 times and that thing will stick with you. Come on, if a GPS will stick with you, made by man, designed by man, come on. And that GPS will stick with you. Come on, God loves you more than that GPS system. And if you've made a wrong turn, He will recalculate you. So we're going to pray right now. We're going to believe God. Just something I want you to do tonight. Whatever the reasoning has been maybe in your mind, like that tries to sometimes hinder you from receiving. You haven't prayed enough. You did this wrong. You haven't been drinking enough water. You know all the stuff the enemy brings. And some things, yeah, you do need to make adjustments, right? But don't have condemnation. Because you can't really receive anything from God if you're condemned about something. No way. Condemnation kills. So you repent, yes, God to forgive you, but now don't let the devil beat you up. So I want you to set aside anything and everything that would try to hinder you from receiving. Because some of you, listen, tonight, you've missed it in some ways, but I believe one thing God is saying, come on, how many of you want to get the devil back? How many of you would like to get the devil back for the way he's made you feel about some stuff? Yeah, well, one way you do it is you act like it never happened. Yeah, because it's washed clean by the blood, right? Once you repent, it's gone. Thank you, Lord. So let's get that devil back. No condemnation. Shake it off. Amen. We're taking everything God has for us. We're receiving it. So I want you to just shake that off, and we're going to pray. And I want you to stand just receiving from the Lord like you obeyed God your whole life and you just never missed it. Boy, you'd be bold praying, wouldn't you? Yeah, you should be laughing. You know what I mean, right? You'd be like, whoa, come on. But I want you to just, no condemnation. It's not about our good works anyways. It's about what Jesus did, right? There's a scripture in Timothy. Remember that old Living Bible? I remember the original Living Bible. Now they have the New Living and all that, but that original Living Bible with the green cover, that hard, remember that one? I like that, like your shirt, you know, it's kind of green like that, like matching that green right there, you know. There's a scripture in Timothy, though, I love it. It says, even when we are too weak to have any faith left, He remains faithful to us. It says, and He will help us, because He cannot deny us who are a part of Himself. And the Lord gave me that verse when my mom had gotten diagnosed with cancer, and she smoked. I told her, you got to stop smoking, it's causing the cancer. And, you know, it was an addiction, but so she's, you know, all conflicted because of that and everything. And then her body got so weak that she couldn't even really say, by His stripes I'm healed. She was that weak. And that's the verse that just jumped out at me. And I showed it to my mom, and I said, God is faithful. It's His faithfulness. It says, even when we are too weak to have any faith left, that's how she felt, He remains faithful. And my mom was healed on that verse. The Lord healed her. She went 11 more years with, cancer free. And this is going to blow some of your minds, but she smoked for the rest of her life. And I just would like to raise her from the dead so I could clobber her. Okay. But you know what she did? She had to set aside the condemnation. And I'm not saying that was right. She shouldn't have done that. But God is merciful is what I'm saying. He's a good God. Come on. He's an awesome God. But I believe God honored her faith. He was bigger than the cigarette. Don't let such a small thing keep you from your destiny. Come on, the devil makes things so big, but God is so much bigger than your little problem or hang up or whatever. He's bigger. Amen? So we're going to believe. Would you stand up? We're going to pray. Hallelujah. God is so good. I want to pray for you right where you're standing. And I believe miracles are being released in this house right now. So let's just lift our hands and thank God for just a minute. Lord, we praise You.